Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Scott Arno is here. Scott is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, Vice President of Soho Solutions. He works with companies just like yours and mine with their cybersecurity solutions, and he's here to talk to us about a couple of completely different topics. Scott Arno, welcome back to the show.
Always great to be here. Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you back. So you want to talk about securing our physical assets, not our digital assets? What's that all about, Scott?
Well, I'll tell you about a couple of studies to sort of set the stage, if you will. In 2014, a company called BitGlass did a study of what's called the Wall of Shame for Health and Human Services. This is where they list every data breach that took place, which involved over 500 patient records. Huh. What they found was 68% of all healthcare industry breaches since 2010 actually came about as a direct result of lost or stolen devices. This could be laptops, phones, tablets, you name it. And in 2013, Consumer Reports did its annual State of the Net survey, and what they found was that in 2013, just before, 4.5 million smartphones were lost or stolen.
Wow.
Just in the United States. That's a lot of stuff. And of course, naturally, you're business assets are on that, and there's also another angle to this, which is someone sneaking into your office. This could either be after hours, or even during the day if they sort of weasel their way in through trickery. This
right.
could be something you'd never expect, like the fire inspector comes in, has a badge, has a card,
right.
does all the right stuff, but has nothing to do with the fire department.
Right.
So these things can happen. And in a building where you have what's called access control at the front, like, say, a security guard and maybe a turnstile or like an electronic badge you'd use to scan,
mm-hmm.
let's say the person behind you is dressed the right way. You may have even seen them one or two times, super friendly, mm-hmm. and their hands are full. So mm-hmm. you're being, you know, nice guy. You scan them in, except it's all fake, and they're walking right in, and you've just given them access
right.
to the office.
I've been scanned in many times.
Yeah, it's one thing if you know, someone there.
Did you hear me?
I have
been standing there like that bad guy you were talking about. Innocuous. I look pretty safe and not too swarthy looking, you know.
Well, that's
and standing
the thing.
There
criminals
with a briefcase in my hand.
Show up, you know, in a criminal
yeah.
uniform, like, hi, I'm the bad
right.
guy.
You know, yeah, but I know I've been
in Batman. You know,
I've been
not realized
I've been,
so much.
I've been waved into many a building around the world.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, at the end of the day, one thing that they're called social engineers, these types of criminals, they prey on human nature. And one part of human nature is to be polite.
Mm-hmm.
And you see someone next to you, you want to let them in. Like, oh, hey, sit, don't worry about the bag mess. Here, come right in. You know, and criminals realize this, and they'll take advantage of that. And you have to take steps to actually safeguard a company against that. That particular
mm-hmm.
thing where you let someone sneak in is referred to as tailgating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a common trick. The basic thing that will teach people not to do that is what's called awareness training. You teach people to be aware of the risk.
Right.
You can also have some types of turnstiles which will allow only one person in per swipe. Those are pretty expensive, so most people don't do that.
Well, I'll tell you something else. You could go in legitimately one time and get a badge.
Of course.
And a lot of times those badges don't, they look, the one you got today looks like the one you got yesterday.
Sure.
You know,
if they have,
now you go in New York, they're going to take your photograph, they go put a date on, they're going to put something on, it may have a color that won't work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of other places out in the flyover America where they have stuff that they want to secure, the badge I got today will work in a month. Just in terms of walking around the hall and people seeing you with a badge on your lapel. That's all they care about. If they don't see the badge, they might stop you. But if they see a little thing hanging off your lapel, all they're thinking is, well, okay, he's been cleared. But you got
exactly.
it a month ago legitimately. Now you're in there as a bad guy.
What this comes down to a large extent is basically training.
Right.
to a large extent, it's the security people up front who have to obviously know what their job entails. Some of it is even the design of the building, believe it or not. There's a concept that's been around for about 50 years called crime prevention through environmental design. And if you see anything that's a modern building, either municipal or commercial, you actually see this stuff. You just don't notice it now. It'll be stuff like entrances that are extremely well lit. There won't be bushes nearby, so no one can hide there. There'll be things like benches around or ball fields so that people have a reason to be there, thus again making it less likely to be useful for the criminal element. It might be a parking garage where all the stairways are visible to the outside, so no one can hide there to attack someone.
Right.
Or even like a glass elevator. So if someone's in the elevator, people outside can see it, making it less likely for crime to happen.
Well, let me tell you something about, in terms of, you know, a lot of little companies out there listening right now, Scott, would say, well, you know, I don't have that kind of a building. My building's not that big. Somebody shows up. We can see who they are, whatever. But you know what? During the lunch hour, there's a lot of places, desks that get vacated and everybody can't see them. There are other ways of stealing stuff. And if you're bidding jobs, some of these jobs that small business owners bid on are good enough, maybe even they have information from a bigger contractor that somebody else wants to know about, they'll try to steal stuff off your laptop or whatever as a way to find out more about how you're bidding that job. That's, years ago, that would have been hard to do. Today, it's not that hard, is it?
Oh, not at all. I'll give you a great example, which is kind of a frightening one. In 2006, the Veterans Administration had one laptop stolen out of a car. It had 28.5 million veterans and current service member records in it. Ouch.
Wow.
There was a smaller theft in 2010, I think, of about 616 records. Between the two of those, the cost of remediation was $48 million.
Wow.
Now,
yeah,
we hear about
the government laptops all the time, don't we?
Oh, for sure. For small business, you might not think, hey, this doesn't necessarily apply. I'll give you one which is really frightening. A small Massachusetts medical practice, I think it was around 2010 or so, it lost a single laptop, and the fine it got hit with from Health and Human Services was $1.5 million.
Wow.
So it can be harsh.
Precious. Well, also, when you're getting rid of hard drives, you got to take steps to completely destroy that hard drive, don't you? If you don't want some of that stuff to get known.
The best thing to do, in my personal opinion, is to destroy it. There are even companies that will drop them in metal shredders for you. There are programs you can get which will overwrite the data on the drive with gibberish over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a magnetic drive, believe it or not, there are things called degaussers, which will put a really, really strong magnet next to it, which pulls all the data in one direction. Because magnetic data on a storage thing is basically ones and zeros. It's this binary.
If you got customer information especially, you gotta get rid of it. Scott,
I need your
website quickly.
TheSecurityAdvocate.com.
Check it out. Quick break. Right back with Scott Arno. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.